Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our question from yesterday was, when do you feel safe? Record and listen.
When do you feel safe? All right.
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Linda Joy.
Hey, Linda Joy.
I'm sorry. I wasn't sure I was on. It's nice to hear your voice, and Ashwini, you too. And wow, this has been fascinating. I'm almost overwhelmed. I guess I feel most safe. What came to me immediately was when I am in meditation and quiet and in listening to my inner voice, when I can get in that quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things, I won't say but, and also, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how grateful I am for everyone who shared, I mean, for the last week or whatever, on the opinions and the my beliefs and my thoughts and all that good stuff, and how it doesn't really mean anything. And I've been sitting with that, you know, and realizing I have a women's group and I'm going to different classes, and what I've been playing with is, can I sit there and just hear and take in everything and let everything just be okay? And this has been the hard part, without me having to say anything. And it's just really been, it's been amazing, because it's almost scary.
Well,
because it really
it is scary to ego. It's terrifying to ego.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, and I can even get a little teeny, teeny glimpse into the possibility that I can be okay with everything. if that makes any sense.
And I would say, yes, absolute sense. And beyond that, that being okay is not even the issue. It's realizing that everything is as it is, and as there's an experience of that, there is what we call you.
Yes.
So you didn't disappear. You didn't go away. Nothing happened. You didn't fall apart. You didn't die. You didn't. You're exactly as you've always been. More relaxed, more comfortable, more at ease, happier, more open, more expansive. Yes, we'll give you that. Okay? nothing bad happens. And everything is exactly as it is.
And it feels so good. And I think one other thing I want to share is that I think that this growing awareness, if that's the right word, it causes me to move into fear sometimes.
The more that I'm accepting,
yeah, and still, and like you said, it's the ego. It's my.
That's right.
Coming back and saying, no, you're not going to do that. You know.
That's right. That's exactly. What we want to get out of that, Linda Joy, is the proof of what ego is and what awareness is and what, in quotes, you are.
Yes.
Ego, right? Ego is the fear. Ego is the fear that you're going to stay in this expansive place, that you're not going to go with it, that you're not going to return to the opinions and spend all your time in conditioned mind trying to figure things out and trying to take care of yourself and put number one first. And that's what ego is afraid of. And so it pulls us into fear. It pulls us into identification with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing that. You're experiencing it. You go back to that, just here, just being, and then you feel the pull into fear. No, 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 this is scary. You can't do that. And then you go back to just being.
Yes. And a comment made yesterday by either Jen or Ashwani helped me so much. It says, can I be fascinated by that conditioning? Can I just look at it and see it for what it is?
Yeah.
Don't ignore it.
Just be.
Don't look.
Just be interested.
Don't look,
be curious.
Yeah. See it for what it is.
Uh-huh.
And I want to thank them for that, because that really gave me a little bit of a, oh, yeah, wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, what we don't want to do is get so interested in it that we start giving it all our attention.
Right? Yes,
because
I get it.
Uh-huh. That's what it wants.
Yeah.
So the whole process, to me, that's what you're seeing in this. The process is interesting, not the content.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what people are talking about, and it doesn't matter what ego is doing. You're seeing the two processes from a place of awareness, and it's the awareness that you want attention on.
Uh-huh. Because it feels so good. To be in that space.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's bliss. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I've experienced a lot more bliss in my life, and it's just been awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Keep enjoying, okay?
Yes. Go happy.
All right. Go happy.
Thanks, Linda Joy. We were having the discussion yesterday about the fascination. We were talking in group with you, Sherry, about being fascinated by the process as a way of changing our relationship with with conditioning, rather than believing it, being in it, listening to it. The step into fascination is a step into awareness. And that's really the process movement that we're encouraging. And once you're in awareness, because there is an ability to be aware, we can expand the awareness to include something other than conditioning, to include all of life, not just that. And so that place of caution, that the attention on awareness allows us to be aware of a lot more than conditioning, is that the bamboozle we don't, I mean, that's the awareness we need to keep, rather than just letting the attention on awareness once again, focus back into conditioning.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's so subtle until we have the experience that Linda Joy is describing. It seems it's really hard to follow. You know, it's hard to picture, even though we're doing it all the time. All the time we have, or regularly, let's say, especially with awareness practitioners, we have attention on awareness. And we do see what conditioning is doing from a disidentified place. And we do slip into just being with everything that is. And to me, the really, I don't know what it is, but the great place, the great thing about being in awareness and seeing conditioning is that that's just one more thing that's being. So we don't have to resist it or hate it or take it personally any more than we resist or hate or take personally trees or birds or anything else that exists in our world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I, as you well know, I was busy having eye surgery yesterday while you folks were doing that, and I wasn't able to hear the call. So, and I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. So I'm very eager to, excited to hear about that conversation, because what you delved into deeply is here is the only safe place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't quite get to that, but yes. there was a reassurance on the board yesterday after there's nothing wrong with you. Here, mm-hmm. you cannot get kicked out of here. Here is the safest yes. place to be.
Yes. yeah. Yeah. Right. If anybody who hears voices about you don't belong, well, yeah. in fact, you do belong here. it's only
yes,
the world
exactly.
of ego that we may or may not belong. yeah. All right.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Jill in Philadelphia.
Hello, Jill.
Hi. Wow, that just gave me so much. first of all, I just feel so grateful that there's a place that I can call into and listen where people are talking about the experiences that I'm having and the practice that I'm doing because, there's not a lot of people that do this.
that is, as we say, the God's truth.
Yeah.
With all of the stuff that's going on in the world on any given day, we know that somewhere there is a group of people talking about the experiences that we're having mm-hmm. as human beings.
Yeah,
not the
and
content
it
of life.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, mm-hmm. it really is down to like, you know, it feels like down to the quarter inch. You know, everything that Ashwini just described is like exactly how I experience practice and
yes.
Moving the attention and, you know, not to get too, in the previous conversation, not to get too interested in what conditioned mind is doing, the fascination part. I mean, that is absolutely my experience. And I just feel so lucky that, wow. you know,
lucky?
Wow.
Lucky
wow,
rather
wow.
than crazy.
Yeah.
because that's what conditioned mind would say. I mean, I bet we can all go back to a time in our lives when we were having these experiences
mm-hmm.
and we were seeing these things and thinking these things, and conditioned mind was busy trying to convince us that we're crazy. Because
mm-hmm.
if you look around at the world, who else is doing this?
Yeah.
You're the only one. You are very strange, and you need
mm-hmm.
to do something about yourself.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. And then hearing that, it makes me also grateful that my conditioned mind, I mean, everyone who has it, you know, in a way that's true to them. But just it just occurred to me that what was going on with conditioned mind wasn't a life experience that was going to give me any life, you know? So, so I just,
quite
yeah.
the opposite. Fact,
yeah, that it was
that
yeah
it was taking your life away from you.
Exactly, that it was trying to kill me is what I
that
came
it was
to.
Trying to kill you,
mm-hmm.
and that's not too strong a statement, is it? I mean,
not for me.
There are people identified with ego who would hear that and just roll their eyes. Oh, right, my head is
yeah.
trying to kill me. Uh huh.
Right.
And
well,
but
maybe,
once we've
yeah.
had the experience, we know that is literally true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, maybe in a couple of lifetimes they'll experience it, but it's mm-hmm. yeah, and so yeah, I feel really lucky.
And
about that.
And when they do, we hope they're very close by a group of people who are having the same conversation and know a way out
mm-hmm.
of their circumstances.
Mm-hmm. I mean that, you know, sort of around the assignment of feeling safe. I mean, conditioning's idea of safe is, you know, shutting things out, so collapsing my world. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just more
sit on the couch.
Yeah, just don't interact. Just withdraw, basically. That's
mm-hmm.
you know, it's fantasy safeness. And what I found
mm-hmm.
is that it's actually the opposite. That it's opening, it's being open,
mm-hmm.
that actually brings like a true, you know, grounded spiritual sense of it's not even safe, it's so much more than that. It just feels
yes.
like so
yes.
beautiful.
I had one of those yesterday, Jill, because I mentioned I was having eye surgery, and
mm-hmm.
I was so excited about it. Because I've never done anything like this, and so you know, why not be excited about something you've never done before? And I met the most wonderful, beautiful human beings,
mm-hmm.
just person after person after person
mm-hmm.
after person, who I could have said, and it would be true, was an extraordinary human being.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were was what you're describing. When people get off the couch and don't listen to voices that say withdraw from life, people who were open and participating and caring, mm-hmm. and loving and present, and it was glorious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we get to experience when we stop listening to ego's version of safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that curiosity that can drive that about the world and what are these things? Just curiosity.
And Jill, to get slightly political for a moment before I let you go. So there are so many people now who don't want to know what's going on in the world because what they encounter is what is hateful.
Mm-hmm.
And in withdrawing in that way, what those people miss is all of the glorious efforts being made, mm-hmm. toward creating a loving, caring, compassionate world in which we all can live together.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, they would sit on the couch with us, with ego, but ego won't let us be open to them. So we do, mm-hmm. have to get up off the couch, go out there, and make ourselves available to those people, and they will find us, and they will embrace us.
Exactly. And what the image that just dropped in was, you know, when I have a cut on my body, the body, all the white blood cells and everything reacts to,
mm-hmm.
it in a surge to heal that. And I feel like,
yes.
that's sort of similar to what's happening with the current,
yes.
state of politics, is that we're getting cuts. And that there's such a huge heartfelt response to that in order,
yes.
to rush to heal that. Yeah.
And
really
we want to
beautiful.
Be a part of that rush, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
All right. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you. See you soon.
Okay. See you soon.
Thanks, Jill. I love that image of the white blood cells, all those defenders to the cause,
mm-hmm.
you know, the participation in the movement towards healing. And the thing that dropped in that
God, right?
Bringing the best of God
to healing.
Mm-hmm. What dropped in? Well, the thing about the safety, it's such an interesting place, especially, I mean, I project that I have somewhat of the same karma as Jill in that safety is defined as what protects us from,
mm-hmm.
Something that is that we can't stand. And there's a,
mm-hmm.
way in which there is no safety unless you participate in life, because only the participation assists us to know that you cannot be protected from life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's that,
yes.
it's that you can't be protected, but you don't need protection. Because,
mm-hmm.
the quality of life is the ability to be all aspects of existence, and that when you get that, life makes complete sense.
Yes, and we realize we don't want to be protected from life. That is the
That's
last
right.
thing we would want to be protected from.
Yes,
we actually,
yes, exactly.
We're working to protect ourselves from ego.
Yes.
I mean, that's a temporary process. We move past that,
yes.
too, but... that's what we really need to be protected from.
Yes, that which keeps,
mm-hmm.
us away from the experience of existence in all dimensions.
Yes. Yeah. Mm.
Here we go. So here's our next caller, Sherry.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Bonnie calling.
Hello, Bonnie. Where are you
Hi.
Calling from?
I'm Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. All right.
Well, I'm still working with that idea about that I don't need to protect myself from life. And I know that you're talking about what I'd say big L life, whereas I think of little L life, more ego, because I feel like I do spend a lot of time, all my time, basically, doing that. And
you feel that you spend so you don't spend all your time, but most of your time identified with ego, grappling with ego's version of life.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. I don't feel safe. Sometimes I can ignore that or distract myself from it when I'm engaged with other people. For sure, when I'm working, when I'm doing something I love to do, when I'm with people. But even then, I can come away from a situation and immediately get hit with, well, you weren't even really being genuine. That's not really, you were just faking it or just.
So, Bonnie, of course.
Yeah.
So, on Tuesday night, I had the great privilege of meeting with the most recent participants in the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And one of the things that I always tell people under those circumstances. Whoa, we just got a bad echo. Did something change? Are you listening through?
Nope, nothing here, and you sound okay to me.
Okay. Well, I'm.
I don't have an echo here.
I can hear myself echoing, but so what I always tell them is, do not expect anything to be different as a result of doing this. Those voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate are going to be even more ramped up to come at you. Okay? So that what you're describing is simply what ego does. It is constantly talking to you, making a case for what's wrong with you and what's wrong with the world for no reason other than you will give it attention. That's it. If you would only give it attention if it sang pop songs from the 1850s, that's what it would be doing. It doesn't care about you. It doesn't care about other people. It doesn't care about the world. It doesn't care about anything except getting you to attend to it.
Okay, I have to just keep remembering that and listening every day. That's what helps me.
And here's a way to speed things up. So you know your experience when you are doing something you love to do.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So what you want to do is ground yourself in that experience. You want to know precisely where you feel that in your body, what it feels like, all the sensations involved, the words that go with that, the emotions that accompany it. And the way you do that, the way you make that real for yourself is through recordings. So you record all of that true, I would say, real experience of life. Because what's happening when you're loving what you're doing is you're not giving any attention to that negative yummy, yummy, yummy in your head. You're just there with what you love to do. Okay? So there you are with your friends or in the situation, whatever is going on, and you walk out of there, and instead of turning attention to conditioned mind for it to evaluate your performance, you pop in your earbuds, you push play on that recording, and you listen to that.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's the way out. Every time it starts to talk to you about what's wrong with you or the world or anything else, pop in those earbuds and listen to what is true.
Okay. Thank you.
The way. You are so welcome. Let me know how it goes.
I will. Thank you again so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thanks, Bonnie. It's important to get right, Cherry, that it's the redirect of the attention. We're not going up against it in the sense of there's a way in which if we resist ego, we are in resistance, and so
yes,
it's important to it's important that we direct the attention to something other than it. So protection it's not a defensive play or an offensive play. It's an ignore play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So if we go back to the politics again, right, there's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of hatred and animosity and all of those synonyms for unpleasantness, okay? And we can either fight that or we can just direct our attention to, okay, what do I want to participate in to help the world be more the way I think it would be better for it to be, like mm-hmm. loving. Mm-hmm. So where can mm-hmm. I participate in a loving way to make the world a more loving place?
Loving place. Exactly.
That's the redirection you're talking about. It's not arguing with those, with the negativity.
Yes.
It's just redirecting the attention.
Exactly.
Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So
oh,
here
goody.
We go. Next right. caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Monica.
Well, hello, Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Good to hear you again.
Everyone. Yes. Good to be here. Yeah, so my first answer to that question was, you know, where do you feel safe or when do you feel safe? Is that the monastery? Because it's just such a safe place to be. And when I looked a little further, it's like it's safe because, well, you know, what's really safe is not listening to the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And it's mm-hmm. such a supportive environment to you know, practice that there. And
right. May I just underline that for a second, Monica?
Sure.
Because there's nothing any different about the monastery, right? It's not held in any kind of a bubble of white light, right? It's that mm-hmm. everybody there is practicing directing attention away from ego and to presence. So when we're mm-hmm. there, when we're in that environment, it really supports and encourages us to do the same thing, and so we get to have that experience of feeling safe.
Yeah, and like, for example, if I, you know, if ego is starting with, oh, you know, they think you're so stupid for doing that or whatever, I can easily, I can easily go to, no, they don't. They're practicing awareness, so, you know, they're not really thinking about it. And so
right.
I made this recording yesterday when I was leaving, like, what if I took those projections everywhere? You know, like, what if I was always at the monastery? Or what if I, you know, since it's all made up, so I don't mm-hmm. have to, just because I know this person isn't practicing awareness and probably does think I'm, you know, thinking, projecting things onto me, I can still pretend I'm at the monastery. I mean, I can still have that quality of just paying attention. And I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what I saw in what you said, and then you tell me if I'm on track. So if somebody, you're at the monastery, and the voice says, well, they think you're really stupid for having done that. And your response is, well, no, they don't, because they're practicing awareness. And what you're really saying there is, well, maybe they do. But if they do, that's their thing to practice with. It doesn't have anything to do with me. So maybe that thought did go through their head, and they're going, oh, my. Okay, well, I need to look at that projection. Right? So out in the world, maybe people aren't going through those steps, but you still can get that whatever is going on with them has nothing to do with you.
Right. Exactly. Yes. That's what mm-hmm. I meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you're always in that place of, it doesn't matter what's going on with anybody else. Everything that I'm doing happens right here, right? So I'm looking at these projections. I'm looking at this ego identification. I'm looking at self-hate and how it can get hold of this person.
Right. Right. And it doesn't matter whether they're using their projections to end their suffering or whether they're using their projections to cause more suffering for themselves. The point is,
not a bit.
It doesn't really matter what they do with that, whatever they're thinking or...
We just
it was
hope
just, Yeah.
We just hope that this is the moment where it dawns that freedom is a possibility. If it hasn't occurred, maybe it's already occurred to them. If so, we know they're working out their own salvation diligently with some level of conscious awareness. Everybody else is working out their own salvation diligently, and they may not have any idea at all that that's what's going on. But we're all doing it.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then I can be a part of it. I mean, in some way, like,
yes.
I'm there to serve.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Well, you can be like the people that I was describing yesterday. You know, you can be somebody who's just as present as you can be, as here as you can be, as kind and loving as you can be. Not some sort of ego idea of a perfected human. Just doing the best you can to be as unconditionally loving as you can be in every moment, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And now you get to acknowledge that and enjoy it, appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, like sometimes I can get caught in thinking that practicing awareness or practicing kindness or practicing love is not enough. Like, oh, but I have to be doing something. And when I'm at the monastery, I can really see how it really is the most activist thing you can do.
Yes, it's everything.
You know, it really does impact my environment. And that, I don't know, I just can see how that really is the most radical thing I can do.
Yes. And I bet you know this too. As we practice that, we have the opportunity for a greater sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Yes. But without it, we do not.
No, it just stops everything
dead
in the water.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so grateful for the monastery, grateful for Sangha, and thank you, everyone. And
away
I'll
we go.
Hear you tomorrow.
Yes. All right. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Monica. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Monica. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. Our assignment for today is, when do you feel unsafe?
You know what I love about that, Ashwini, is that we go into it, logically, that would be first, and then the other would be second. But this way, we go into that exploration with so much more clarity about what's going on, because we've been exploring when we feel safe, right, or how we feel safe. That's very good. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.